Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Our subject for the last several broadcasts has been giving. New Testament grace giving. And we learned a great deal about that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And we have now actually worked our way, verse by verse, through the first 9 verses of chapter 8. And we are getting ready to move into verses 10 and 11 and following on the broadcast today. Now let me begin by giving you something to think about. We know, certainly, that God loves all of His blood-bought children, but we also know from this passage that God especially loves a cheerful giver. That comes up in chapter 9 and verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Since not all of God's children have yet learned to give cheerfully, we are forced to conclude that God loves some of His children more than others. A shocking thought to some, but it's difficult to draw any other conclusion from the text that I have just laid before you. The Bible also instructs us to keep ourselves in the love of God. And one way to do that, obviously, would be to learn to become cheerful givers, to grow in the grace of giving, so that we are giving cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why a passage like this in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 is so important, because it helps us to understand how to do this. Chapter 8 opens with a report of the sacrificial giving of the Macedonian churches, and then continues with an appeal for the Corinthian church to do likewise, to give generously in a manner similar to their brethren in the churches of Macedonia. So we will continue in this passage on this Thursday, May 25, in which the Lord has gathered us together by means of radio. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us with the cost of the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, Paul goes on in verses 10 and 11 to give what we might call some apostolic advice. He says, "And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have." Well, picking that up out of the air, it doesn't immediately, it isn't immediately clear what Paul is talking about, but when you set it back in its context in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, then it becomes abundantly clear that he's continuing to talk about this project offering, which he had organized among the Gentile churches, at least those that he had established, to send to the persecuted Christians in Jerusalem. It was a project which was above their regular giving because it did not involve the support of their own local church, but rather a benevolence offering to help persecuted saints hundreds of miles away. It was organized. The instructions were given to them as to how they were to carry this out. It was to be carried out over a period of many months, at least a year or a little bit more. And then when the time of the completion came, The money that was collected was to be carried by messengers to Jerusalem to be given to the saints there. So let's look now at Paul's apostolic advice back in verse 10. And here's what he says, "And in this I give advice." And let's stop there. What is the difference between advice and a command? In verse 8, he said, "I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others." So, not a command in verse 8, but a strong exhortation. Not a command in verse 10, but advice. But the question is Paul's advice a mere suggestion, or is it more than that? We must conclude that it's more than what we would consider advice. You're talking over something with your neighbor, and he offers his advice. What is that? Well, that's what he would advise you to do in that situation, what he would do if he were in that situation. It's advice. There's no particular weight attached to it, except if you're wise, you're going to think about it and consider it carefully, and if it commends itself to you as the right course of action, then you're going to follow it. If there are substantial reasons why you shouldn't do that, then of course you can freely lay it aside because there's no obligation and take another course of action. Is that what Paul's advice is like? I would suggest that's not the right way to look at it. I think the way we ought to look at it is that if an apostle gives us advice, we have to consider that, and maybe I can use a particular term here that's not a Bible one necessarily, but I think will help you understand. If an apostle gives us advice, we ought to consider that to be weighty advice. We can't lay that aside quite as lightly and easily as we might lay aside the advice of a neighbor. But moving from the weight of this advice, let's consider the value of this advice. He says, going back to verse 10 again, "And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage." The value of this advice is that it will benefit you. And the question is how? And the answer is because it will enable you to grow in the grace of giving. Remember verse 7. "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." Now, here's my advice. Paul tells us in verse 10, this will help you to grow in the grace of giving. That's the value of this advice. It is to your advantage. But what is the heart of this advice? What is Paul saying? And now I'll pick a phrase that you're familiar with. It's not found in the text. But the heart of the advice is simply this: finish the job. "And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now also you must complete the doing of it." Finish the job. You made a sincere commitment. You, in the words of our text, were desiring. When you began, let me go back to verse 10, "And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago." What you began and were desiring. You began something, you need to finish it. You had a desire to do something, you made a sincere commitment that you were going to contribute, and I'm assuming that there was an amount that was declared here. Our church is going to set this goal as our contribution to this project offering for the saints in Jerusalem. We'll add this amount, Lord willing, to the amounts that are raised by the other churches. That's what you indicated a year ago that you planned to do, you were desiring to do, and you began to do it, what you began. You started out carrying out this plan. Again, verse 10, and this is the advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. What you began. What Paul indicates is that the Corinthians set a goal, indicated what they desired to do, and then they started out putting that goal into shoe leather, you might say. They started out doing what was necessary to reach that goal. You began to do this. I take you back once again to those familiar words in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where Paul talked about this project offering and how they were to carry it out, how they were to move it forward. Back in the first epistle that predates this second epistle by a good number of months. And remember, he said in 1 Corinthians 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave instructions to the churches of Galatia, so also do you. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside, as God has prospered, that there be no gatherings, that there be no gatherings, and when I come, there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you appoint will take this offering to Jerusalem, and if appropriate, I will go with them. I'm rather paraphrasing what happens there, but Paul made it clear, this is something that I want every one of you to participate in, and each of you do what you are able to do on a weekly basis, week by week by week, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, Lord's Day by Lord's Day by Lord's Day, the day of the gathering of the saints, the assembly of the saints on the Lord's Day each week, each one of you, lay by what you are able, as God has prospered, that there be no gatherings, no collections, when I come. That was the instruction. They were to each be contributing something to this offering every week. But now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is indicating that though they had begun well, they had not continued carrying out this plan. They had stopped doing it. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. You made a sincere commitment. You began to fulfill your commitment. Now, verse 11, finish the job. Now, complete the doing of it. You have lagged behind. You have dropped your weekly collections. You have stopped laying by you in store on the first day of every week. Some of you aren't doing what you said you were going to do. Some of you aren't doing what I told you to do as the manner of making this work. And so now you're going to have to really work hard to make up for lost time. But finish the job. What you started to do, now you need to complete. And now our time is running short, so I will have to pick it up again on the broadcast tomorrow. I encourage you to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.